Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer together this morning and see what we can learn from this particular passage of Scripture to encourage us in our own prayer life, to help us to become more effective in prayer and experience the grace and the favor of the Lord. Ironically, last week, as we shared a similar message last week, Our biggest response to the message last week didn't have anything to do with prayer. It had to do with where can you get affordable car insurance. Just saying. So today, let's see what we can learn about prayer together from Matthew chapter 6. Let's read it together, if I can find it. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 13. Jesus, this is the Sermon on the Mount in the fifth chapter here, fifth, sixth, seventh chapters of Matthew's Gospel, or what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6, Jesus is teaching on prayer, and he comes to verse 9, and he tells the disciples to pray in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. God, as we come to these moments in the study of the Word of God today, we thank you for the life that is ours through the Scriptures. God, as you unfold the meanings of these things and help us to understand you and your ways and our purpose, and we thank you, Lord, for teaching us here today. I pray for every person in our room today, Lord, that we would hear the voice of the Spirit of God and be encouraged in our own spiritual journey, and in particular, in our prayer life. We thank you for this time and believe, Father, that you're going to make a difference in every heart and in every life. And I give you the thanks and praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, particularly today. We've been talking about the title of the series. This is about our fifth or sixth week. The title of the series is The Jesus Way to Pray, because our desire is to learn how to pray more effectively, to pray like Jesus did, like the disciples did, which of course was always according to the will of God. And by the way, guys, I just want to let you know, I just want to encourage you today and just remind you that prayer really does work. The things that God has promised in the Scriptures, God really will do. And prayer really does work when we do it the Lord's way. Now, here's the thing. So much of our time, so many of our prayers aren't really prayers that the Lord has inspired or that we have prayed out of a pure and sincere heart. They're mostly prayers that we pray out of our own mind, out of our own thinking, out of our own will. And a lot of times those things are not answered, and we often wonder why. And I want to just share with you today, if I might, and I want to say this to you as sensibly as I can. My point is to inform, not offend. But I want you to hear this today. Most of us, particularly in the West, particularly here in America, we practice what I would term as a lazy Christianity. A lazy Christianity. The Bible actually refers to it in terms of lukewarmness, half-heartedness, all of these kinds of things. And it's because of the fortune that you and I have to be in a nation that has been so blessed, and our lives for the most part are so blessed, that we seldom really see and understand the need for prayer in our life. In fact, prayer has become for most of us what it never have should have never become. Prayer has become sort of a spiritual 911. You know, only use in case of emergency. And the only time we pray is when we come to a crisis and we need the intervention of the Lord in our lives. And we practice a lazy Christianity. And what I mean by that is we don't want to really invest time in the things of the Lord. We don't want to really press in hard to a relationship with Jesus. We don't want to dig deep into the Scriptures. We don't want to do what the Bible tells us to do. We're to wait on the Lord. We don't want to do these things because we are a victim. Listen, we are a victim of our own culture and, again, frankly, our own prosperity in this nation. We're a victim of that. And we have come to the place where we want everything immediately. We want it instantaneously. We want it taken care of right away. And we don't want to have to spend a lot of time doing something to achieve God's goals and God's ends. Just the way we are in America today. Everything that we have today, everything that we do, everything that we use, everything is so instantaneous. How many of you can remember, give my age away, how many of you can remember when you used to turn on the television and you had to wait for it to warm up? You had to wait for it to warm up. It really was. See, we call it the tube. That's because it's what it was back in the day. It was a big old giant tube that had to warm up before the picture and the sound and all of those other things could come through. But it was, you know, it's what we had, and we were happy with that. And we turned it on, you know, and you just sit there and you wait. Or I'll just bring you up to date just a little bit. The internet. The internet. I remember we went on the internet about 20 years ago, and you try to watch a video 20 years ago, and it's like this, and then it's buffer, 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 and then another step, and now you turn on the internet and you stream things in high definition right on your computer, right to you. I mean, everything is just so instant and right away and you know, microwaves and fast food and everything is right away, and we don't want to invest. And then we come to God and we approach God with that same mentality and same attitude, and we think this is the way prayer is supposed to work. We're supposed to pray and we should have the answer in about 10 minutes, tops. And things don't work that way in the kingdom of God. Jesus taught a parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. Jesus taught a parable where he explained the way the kingdom of God works. And he says the kingdom of God works on the seed principle. He says it's like a farmer who casts seed on the ground and then he goes to bed. And he gets up the next day and the next day and the next day, and that seed eventually will produce fruit. The farmer doesn't know how. All he knows is that seed produces fruit if you give it enough time. I remember as a kid, my parents let me plant pumpkin seeds one year out back of the house. And I remember as a kid, I'd plant those seeds in the ground, and every day I ran out there to look at that pile of dirt in the ground to see what those seeds were doing. And, you know, it was a week or more before finally you see a little bitty sprout start to come out of the ground there. And it just took that long. Well, Jesus is telling us that things in the kingdom of God will typically work that way. Now watch this. How many of you understand that when I first planted that seed in the ground as a child, that pumpkin seed, when I first planted that seed under the soil, something was happening to the seed. Something began to happen immediately to the seed under the ground, but I couldn't see it because it's under the ground. So that seed, something is happening to the seed in a realm in which I could not see until the appropriate time that the fruit began to come forth from the ground and the mature plant would come. Well, Jesus is teaching us that this is the way the kingdom of heaven works. And if I can say it this way, our prayers are like seeds we plant in the kingdom of heaven. And we speak and we plant those seeds in the kingdom of heaven. And just because we don't see anything happening right away doesn't mean nothing's happening. What it means is that something is happening with that seed in a realm where you can't see yet. But at the proper time, that seed will produce fruit and bring forth a harvest in your life. As long as you don't pull up the seed, dig up the seed. I was so tempted. Seed, why aren't you doing anything? Somebody get a shovel, let's look at the seed. How many of you know how to kill that seed if I'd have tried to dig it up? I wonder how many prayers we've killed because we didn't believe long enough for God to produce fruit and answer a prayer and see the result. And so we practice this lazy Christianity, and we're not willing to wait on God to do what God needs to do and only the way that God can do it. Remember that farmer? The scripture says that the farmer has no idea how that seed produces fruit. And brother and sister, you and I have no idea how God answers most of our prayers. And it's not important that we know how. All that's important is that we believe that He will. And when we believe, God responds. Now here's the thing. Because we don't invest time with the Lord, because we don't press in to the Lord and really focus our attention on God and spend quality time with the Lord, because we don't do those things, we typically have a very difficult time hearing and recognizing and understanding the voice of God when He speaks. John, we were talking about this Wednesday night. You see, Becky and I have spent a lot of time together. A lot of time. 43 years we've been married, okay? And it didn't take that long. Thank you, dear. It didn't take that long. Listen, any of you who have ever spent very much time with another person, how many of you know when Becky calls me on the phone, she doesn't have to say, "Ken, this is Becky." Becky who? No. No, because of our relationship, because we've spent so much time together, I immediately recognize her voice. Most of you, if you would call me on the phone, and not because I got caller ID, but most of you, I would recognize your voice because we've spent time together. Well, brother and sister, if we're going to recognize the voice of God when He speaks to us, we've got to invest quality time with the Lord so that we can recognize His voice when He speaks. Why is that important? Well, we've found out in our study of prayer so far that prayer is not so much asking God to do what we want Him to do for us as it is finding out from God what He wants us to do for Him and how He wants us to pray for Him and His situation and so that He can accomplish His will in the earth. John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says there that if we pray according to God's will, we know that God hears us. And if we know that He hears, we know that we will receive the things that we've asked for. But before we receive, we've got to know that we've heard the will of God. In order to know the will of God, we've got to recognize the voice of God. So, brother and sister, we can't practice a lazy Christianity that spends virtually no time in the presence of the Lord and rarely ever presses in. We can't spend that kind of life and then have confidence when we go before God in prayer. Because we haven't heard from God. Prayer is not so much about asking God to do stuff for us. Prayer is cooperating with God so that God can do His stuff for us and accomplish His will in our life. Prayer is partnering with God. Prayer is us touching God so that God can then touch us. Prayer is earth touching heaven so that heaven can come to earth and manifest the glory of God in the situations of our lives. Unfortunately, in our quick and easy, lazy Christianity, we wind up typically praying what I call the assumed will of God and not the revealed will of God. We assume on God. We presume on God. We assume this is what He wants. This is what He's going to do. And listen, unless God has spoken, and we've shared this with you, unless God has spoken, all those prayer promises, Jesus said, pray and believe and have faith and you'll receive. Jesus said, whatever you pray for in my name, you will receive. And when we studied those phrases out, what we discovered was in order to have faith, in order to pray in Jesus' name, it means we have to be in communion with the Lord, we have to be surrendered to the Lord, and we have to be hearing the voice of the Lord. When we do, we can pray according to God's will, and God will answer those prayers and bring blessing to our lives and blessing to other people's lives as well. So, down to the prayer itself. Now, Matthew chapter 6, here's the thing. If our prayer lives are not being effective, we can fix that. Okay, we can fix that. Because I promise you, prayer works. Prayer works. I've seen prayer work too many times to say otherwise. I wished I could say prayer worked all the time when I pray. It doesn't. Because I pray those assumption prayers like everybody else. And I God's not obligated to meet those, to answer those prayers and do the things that I'm asking him to do. But listen, when we seek the Lord, if our prayer life is not effective, we can fix it by learning how to pray the Jesus way to pray. So we found out in the Lord's Prayer in verse 9, Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we talked about last week what that particular verse means. It speaks of relationship. It speaks of exalting the Lord. He is in heaven. Hallowed be your name means recognizing all that God is. The name of the Lord represents all that God is. He is healer. He is provider. He is savior. He is protector. He is all of these things, and his name speaks to all of these things. So that when we know his name, when we really know his name, we'll come to have faith in him when we pray. Let me mark this real quick. I got a verse came to mind this past week. Let me read just real quick. One verse from Psalm 9. Related to knowing the name of the Lord, which simply means to know the nature of the Lord. Psalm 9 verse 10 says this, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. When you know his name, you know who he is. You know what he's capable of doing. You know what he wants to do. And when you know who he is, when you know what he's capable of doing, you put your trust in the Lord. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Those who seek you. So there we are again. We need to be a people who seek after the Lord, who press in to God, who are diligent to seek after the things of the Lord in our life in order to experience his best. So our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We said last week, this is all about worship. Prayer begins with worship. And here's what it does, brother and sister. When prayer begins with worship, it helps us to focus our mind and our attention on the Lord. And how many of you know that what we give our attention to is what ultimately becomes magnified in our lives? What we give our attention to is what becomes magnified in our lives. If we give our attention to the Lord, God will always be magnified in our life, and we will always see God as bigger than the problems that we're going through. But if we don't give our mind to the Lord, and all we ever think about is our problems, how many of you know those problems will just get ginormous? They'll just get huge. And they'll be overwhelming because we give our attention to those things. We focus on those things. And they become to us the giants of our life. You remember the giants that the Israelites found in the promised land? God wasn't big enough to handle those giants because their mind was on the giants instead of on God. Joshua and Caleb had their mind on God instead of on the giants. And they came out and they said, these dudes are big, these dudes are tough, but our God is bigger and we can take the land if we'll just obey our God, if we'll just believe, you see. So what you give your mind to is what gets magnified in your life. And so prayer needs to start with worship that puts us in tune with the Lord so that we can come before God and hear his voice. And it's not really a rabbit trail. This is why, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, this is why, as believers, exercising the God-given right and gift of prayer language, of spiritual language, of praying in the Spirit, is so valuable to us as believers. Let me just share this with you. I'm not going to get into this in detail. The Bible uses another term for that phrase, and the Bible uses the term praying in tongues. And I want to tell you, this is one of the most misunderstood, one of the most misused, one of the most abused practices within Christianity today. And it's why people are scared of it. It's why people believe it's of the devil. It's why people believe all these kinds of things about it. But the Bible tells us that when we pray in the Spirit, we encourage our own heart, we build ourselves up spiritually, and we strengthen our own faith when we pray in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit, brother and sister, is a personal, devotional gift for you to use to worship God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I encourage you, we've got papers on the back table back there. I've got one that I wrote myself. I've got another one that accompanies it that's written by Dr. Williams, who was a former president of Regent University in Virginia Beach. It's an excellent paper back there to help you understand that. But anyway, worship brings us into communion with the Lord, tunes us into the voice of His Spirit, encourages and strengthens our faith, helps us to hear from God so that we can pray more effective prayers. Verse 10, look at this. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When Jesus said, pray your kingdom come, He's not talking about the second coming of the Lord. Now, nothing in the world wrong with praying for the second coming of the Lord. I pray that prayer a lot. Lord Jesus, take me away, Lord. Come and let's put an end to this thing now, Lord. Let's get out of here, you know. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. When He says, your kingdom come, the word kingdom there, it means rule. It means reign. And what that is, what verse 10 actually is an invitation to the Lord to come and rule and reign over our lives. Verse 10 is a verse of surrender. It's the verse of surrender. And in fact, it goes right on to say there, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Picture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that when he's in that garden, moments, minutes before He is betrayed and turned over to Judas and all of those guys, that Jesus was actually in the garden and He was praying to the Father. And the Bible says that as He prayed there, His prayer was so intense that He sweat, as it were, drops of blood as He's praying before God. And His heart is breaking. Listen, Jesus lived this earth as a man. And when He went to Calvary and died there, He died as a man. He experienced all of the pain and suffering and the torment that any other human being would experience if they went through what He went through when He went to the cross. And Jesus, as a human being, before He goes through that, He's in prayer to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He prays this, and He says, Father, if there is any other way to accomplish Your purposes rather than this way, let's go plan B. Let's do it the other way. But then you know what He said? He said, nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done. Because He recognizes the will of God, as hard as it's going to be for Him to go to the cross and suffer for all of humanity, as difficult and as hard as that was going to be, He knew that was the right way, it was the best way, really, it was the only way, and He submitted Himself to it, and He did it for you and I. He laid His will down. He surrendered to the will of God. Nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done. So verse 10 is really a verse of surrender. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And notice what it says after that. On earth as it is in heaven. I want you to just meditate on that with me for a few moments. Think about heaven this right now. What do you suppose things are like in heaven right now, right this minute? Do you think Anybody up there is worried about anything? Think anybody is depressed about anything? Do you think anybody is lonely and brokenhearted and discouraged in heaven this afternoon? Not afternoon yet, but you get the point. Do you think anybody up there is struggling financially to put food on the table? Borderline poverty, about to have their home in glory repossessed. They don't worry about things like that in heaven, do they? There is no worry, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. Anybody there with a broken and crippled body? Anybody there with a body riddled with disease? Jesus said, your will be done in the earth as right now it's being done in heaven. Now, brother and sister, I'm not making any promises to you. And I'm not telling you specifically what God's going to do in your life. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. But what I am doing, brother and sister, is as I am presenting to you the potential of what God can do in our lives and what's available to us when we pray a Jesus kind of prayer, because nothing is impossible for God. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 in this whole model prayer, 5 or 6 verses, verse 11, one short verse, it is the only place in the prayer where Jesus says to pray about your own needs. I told you, prayer is not primarily about asking God for stuff. Prayer is mostly about worshiping of the Lord, surrendering to the Lord, cooperating with the Lord, trusting God to use us and to manifest His will. One verse, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Notice he didn't say, give us this day a lifetime supply. You know, I go to the bank up on Timberlake Road up there, and about 2 blocks down Timberlake Road from where I bank is a big old sign, and every week that big old sign has got the latest total of the lottery and how many millions of dollars are given away. And I just think, Lord, do you know how much good I could do for people if you just let me win that lottery? He hadn't given me the first number yet for the lottery. Listen, God never promised to give us a lifetime supply, but He does promise to meet our needs day by day. And He tells us to pray. You know why? Do you know why God won't let me win the lottery? Do you know why He probably won't let you win the lottery? The reason God says, give us this day our daily bread is so that tomorrow we have to come back to God again. And the next day we have to come back to God again. And it's all about continually drawing near to the Lord. Because what God wants from you and I, above everything else, is just to have a relationship with us. Just for us to be there together with Him and share love together with Him. Remember, again, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, every day, well, let me correct myself, 6 days a week, they went out and they picked up bread from the ground, supernaturally provided for them. On the 6th day, and only the 6th day, were they allowed to take enough bread for more than just one day. Because on the Sabbath day, nobody worked, and God provided on that 5th day enough for the 5th and 6th days. Any other time when they would try to go out and take more than enough for one day, remember what would happen? The food that they tried to collect and save, it spoiled. It would rot. And again, the whole point is that God is saying, I want you to come to me every day. Just get used to it. Come to me. Draw near to me. Fellowship with me. Press into me. Let's have relationship together. Let me do what I can do in your life for you. And by the way, when we pray for our daily bread, understand that our daily bread is not just enough for our own table for that day. Okay? Because understand that God wants you to be a blessing to somebody else every day. And that's part of what you need for today. Part of what you need for today is not just enough to go on your table for today. It's not just enough to pay your rent for today. It's not just enough for you to make that car payment for today. But what you need is enough to make all of those other payments and do all that stuff. But also what you need is something to give to somebody else to be a blessing in the name of the Lord. So when you pray for your daily bread, don't get selfish. Don't be selfish. Remember that God sees a bigger picture than what you and I see. And He has other things in store for our lives. Give us this day our daily bread, but it's just a small portion of prayer. Look at verse 12. And forgive us our debts or our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Let me say it again. Jesus said, pray this, forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven other people their sins. Question I want to ask you today, is that really how you want God to forgive you? Do you really want God to forgive you the same way that you're forgiving other people? Well, it got quiet, didn't it? I venture to say that most of us would pray that God would be a whole lot more gracious to us than we are to other people. But here's the thing, brother and sister. Here's the assumption that Jesus is making when he tells us to pray that. Jesus is making the assumption that as children of God, born of the Spirit of the Lord, who believed in Jesus and have received Him as Lord and Savior, Jesus is assuming that we're going to walk in the love of God toward everybody all the time and always be willing to grant forgiveness to those that have offended us and to seek forgiveness to those that we've offended. In fact, Jesus teaches again in the same sermon in the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, when you come before God to make a sacrifice and to make an offering, and you remember that there's a brother out there that you've got strife with, there's offense between you and that brother, Jesus says, leave your sacrifice at the altar and go make peace with that brother. And then come back with God. Please hear what God is saying. Please hear what Jesus is telling us in that scripture passage, brother and sister. He's telling us this. If our heart is not right with our brother or sister, then our heart's not right with God. It cannot be until we are right with one another. In fact, look at verses 14 and 15 just below this. This is so important. Jesus added this after He gave instructions for praying. Verse 12, let me just read that in 12, 14, and 15 together. He says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. For, verse 14, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. What He's trying to tell us there is that when we choose to harbor bitterness in our heart and we choose not to be forgiving toward people who have offended us, that our choosing not to forgive is just as wrong as the offense that was committed against us. Our unforgiveness is as wrong as whatever somebody did to us to offend us in the first place. See? And that offense, that unforgiveness, cuts us off from the flow of God's grace in our lives. And so we need to repent of unforgiveness, and we need to be willing to forgive as we have been forgiven. We need to ask the Lord to help. You know, sometimes it's hard to forgive people, isn't it? Some of the offenses that are committed against us, it's hard to forgive people who've offended us. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, and the passage, the context of the passage is love, of which forgiveness is a fruit. Forgiveness is a fruit of love. When you love people, you'll forgive them, okay? Ephesians 3:20 says this. It says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly far beyond anything you can ask or think. And what that means in its context is this. When you struggle being able to love somebody else, when you struggle being able to forgive somebody of an offense against you, God is able to help you do what you don't think is humanly possible for you to do if you will just submit to God and let God work His will in your life. God will give you the grace to forgive whatever offense has been committed against you, because God wants your heart pure when you come before Him. And so we need to pray prayers like Psalm 51, wash me and make me clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Psalm 19 and verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Look at verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Somebody said, well, why would God ever lead us into temptation? He wouldn't, and that's the point. These verses of Scripture, this passage, this sentence, properly understood, it's a contrast. In other words, I know you won't lead me into temptation, and therefore deliver me from the evil one who wants to tempt me and destroy me and take my life down. And so this portion of the prayer is praying for the wisdom of God, praying for the direction of the Lord, praying for the strength of the Holy Spirit, and praying for God to watch over us and to keep us from the evil one. And then the end of the prayer, verse 13, the second part. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In other words, he's saying, here's how prayer should end. God, everything is yours. You created it all. It all belongs to you. And you rule over everything. Everything. I love the prayer of David. When David is praying and he's received an offering for the building, for the construction of the temple. And the people of Israel have given so much gold and silver and jewelry and all of this stuff. They've lavished it upon David so that he would have everything that he needed to pass along to his son Solomon to build the temple. And David goes before God and he said, God, who are we that we should have so much as this? God, we know that everything that we have has come from your hand. Everything has come from your hand. And listen, brother and sister, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because I guarantee probably every one of us thinks a lot of what we've got, we got it for ourselves. And I'm just telling you today, no, you didn't. Anything you got, however you got it, as long as it's honest, anything you got, it came to you by the grace of God, some way, shape, or form. God has provided. God tells the people of Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 8, they're going into the promised land. God says, you're going into a land that flows with milk and honey. You're going to eat from vineyards and farms where you didn't plant. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. God says, you remember when you get there. You remember where you got your stuff. Don't get in there and think, my strength has made this place. My ability has built this home and raised these crops. God said, you remember where it all came from, that I'm the one who provided for you. Deuteronomy 8:18, for God has given you the power to make wealth. Whatever wealth you and I happen to get in this lifetime, it is God Almighty who has given us the ability to make it and has provided it for us by His goodness and by His grace. He has power over all things, and nothing is impossible for Him. I want you to see this last sentence of this last part of the prayer, brother and sister. It's just all about worship again. We started in worship, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we've come back to worship as we close prayer. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We ask these things, Lord, in your name. We ask it for your glory. You are the eternal God and King of the universe. This, brother and sister, is the Jesus way to pray. And this is the kind of prayer that's going to get answers from God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us of what prayer is really all about and how it's to be done and how it can be done effectively. We thank you, Father, that you have placed us in this world to be used by you for your glory, to exalt your name, that the world might know who you are and come to you for salvation. And God, what a privilege it is for us What a privilege and honor it is for us to be able to partner with you. Lord, you really do own it all. It's all yours, God. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us to live in this world and for the blessings that we have every day, for the abundance that you've lavished upon us, and for the privilege that's ours to represent you in this world today. Father, help us to understand this purpose for prayer. Help us to learn how to pray effective prayers that touch heaven so that heaven can be revealed and experienced in the earth. And your will done in the earth, even as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. Let's stand together. And I want to close with just a different kind of closing this morning, if I can do this. I don't want to pray with you about specifics in your life right now. If you need something personally and specifically, I'd be more than happy to stay and pray with you after others are dismissed in just a little while. But here's what I'd like to do this morning. Maybe there is something going on in your life, or there is something that you have been praying about for some time, and you haven't been able to break through, or you haven't seen God move, or you're beginning to wonder, you're beginning to doubt, you're beginning to worry, and you're beginning to just want to throw in the towel where prayer is concerned. I would like to pray for you today, for you to stand strong in God and persist and continue for whatever it is you're seeking God for. Does that make any sense to you? If you've got something in your life that you're praying about and not seeing a breakthrough, I just want to pray with you to continue to have the strength to stand until the breakthrough comes. So that's my invitation to you today as we bow our heads right now for prayer and as we go before the Lord to close our service today. If you've been praying about something and you're growing weary in prayer and you're about ready to just give up on it, I want you to come up to the front here and just stand before me and stand with me here today and let me pray with you for strength to continue until those prayers are answered in your life. Please come this morning. Let me pray with you today. Be encouraged. Be encouraged today. Come and let me pray with you. Amen. Come on this morning. Come on and stand in front of me here. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for my brother and sisters that stand before me right now who seek your heart to know your will, that they might pray accordingly and for your will to be done in their life. Father, your word says that we are not to grow weary in this well-doing, and that if we will continue and press in, that you will hear and you will respond. So I pray for my brother and sister here before me, my sisters here before me today. I pray, Father, for strength to endure, strength to continue, to be reminded that the Bible says it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God, and that they would endure as they press through, because your word says it's those who endure to the end who will find salvation and find the answers that they seek. God, you promised in the Word that if we seek you with all of our heart, you will be found by us. And I trust, Father, that each of these here will seek you, find you, know your will, pray accordingly, and receive that answer. God, thank you for my sister. And I pray for your anointing on her heart and life. a renewed strength, Father, to continue on, to move forward, and to press forward and to press into you until she receives what she believes your heart desires for her life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for strength from on high today. Lord, you are able to do exceeding abundantly, far beyond what we ask or think. According to your Spirit that works within us, you strengthen us. You give us strength. You give us the power to endure and to keep moving forward. And you do it by your grace, and you do it out of your love for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that fresh anointing today. Fresh oil, Father. Fresh oil, fresh anointing today. Fresh strength to press on in prayer until answers are received. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you so much. As always, we want to pray with you about specific things in your life. If there's something going on that we can pray with you about, if you'll stick around for a few moments and let us say goodbye to folks as they go out, and we'll spend whatever time you need with you for whatever you need to pray about those issues in your life today. Thank you so much for coming today. We hope you'll come back the next couple of Sundays and through the holiday season with us and celebrate with us. Continue to rejoice in Jesus and the birth of our Savior. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Let's sing and we'll be dismissed today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a great week. Hope to see you Wednesday night for our family movie. Hi, Jack.